Good afternoon. It's 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Wednesday, February 26th. I'm Ray Graff. Pets and Vets today is always one of our popular segments. If your doggy is bothering you, if your cat is yowling in the middle of the night, we want to hear about it. Give us a call. Dr. Chris Dallas joins us to help you through your animal issues. 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Pets and Vets, always a fun show. You can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. voxpop@wamc.org or 800-348-2551. Pets and Vets, Chris Dallas, your call's coming up. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. It's Pets and Vets today. Here to take your calls is Dr. Chris Dallas of Ancient Arts Holistic Veterinary Services in Saratoga Springs. Dr. Dallas specializes in treatment of chronic health issues in pets using an integrative approach. She specializes in veterinary acupuncture, Chinese herbal medicine, geriatric care, nutrition counseling. If you have a question about your doggy or your kitty, give us a call. 800-348-2551 is the number. 1-800-348-2551. Or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. And, Chris Dallas, welcome to the show. Nice to have you here.
Thank you, Ray. It's good to be back.
Well, let me ask you a question before we get rolling here.
Sure.
What's a good diagnostic test that I can do at home to see if my cat has hearing problems?
Oh, well, I mean, I look at it as, you know, when you walk in the room, do they acknowledge? Or if they're fast asleep and you get home. I mean, it's funny. Like, I think about it more in dogs because dogs really care about when their owners come home and are excited to see them. Cats, less so. So with dogs, it's like, do they come to the door? Are they there waiting for you like normal? Cats are a little more, what's the word?
Aloof.
Like, aloof, yeah.
Yes.
Standoffish.
Indeed.
Independent.
Yeah.
I mean, you can always clap your hands. That's a pretty loud sound, though.
Yeah, but I just wonder, you know, my cat will react. I'll come in and seems to hear okay.
Mm-hmm.
But the cat's senses are so acute anyway, they might overcompensate.
Mm.
Maybe I smell, you know, my scent.
Right.
Come in.
And they just sense things, too. Like, they also have a sixth sense. Like, I think most animals are almost, like, telepathic because they can just read our intentions or whatever. But how old your cat?
90. I have no idea.
Old.
I mean, Mitchell found us, I think, maybe 13,
oh,
12,
okay.
13.
Yeah. He could be losing his hearing a little bit. He also could, if he's not, is he shaking his head excessively?
Oh, no.
No, okay.
No.
Okay. I'm thinking, like, polyps or something that are blocking the ear canal.
No, I mean, I think the cat hears okay.
Yeah.
But it seems like, like, at night sometimes cat will yowl, walk around yowling, and maybe that's some senility or...
Well, that could be hyperthyroidism or...
Interesting.
...high blood pressure.
Interesting.
Hypertension makes them yowl
It's
at night.
Not bad yelling. I mean, it's
no,
once
it's just,
in a while.
I know what it is, though. It's the, like, it's... I know that sound. I've experienced it in my house, too. So the first thing we do is check blood pressure, and the next thing we do is check thyroid function.
So interesting.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, maybe it's
I'm not sure anybody knows why that happens, but it's just a correlation.
So the yowl... Okay. Yeah. Usually the cat's sitting right by the food dish, and so I figured it just knows that if I yell, people are going to wake up. And,
yes.
You know, so the cat...
Is he losing weight, and is he, like, eating ferociously and losing weight?
Because he does not eat for... He eats normally, and he's not skinny. So, for an older cat, he seems quite fine.
Okay. Interesting. And there's also selective hearing, which is senior animals are prone to. So I call that the entitlement. It's like,
and children.
Yeah. And children.
I noticed that too.
Like, you know that I know that you know that I know what to do. Yeah.
We're just going to both pretend that I didn't hear you.
Yeah, exactly.
Dr. Chris Dallas is our guest today. It's Pets and Vets. 800-348-2551 is the number. You can email your question to voxpop@wamc.org. Before we hit the phones and such, is there anything you would like to bring up before we get rolling here?
No, I don't think so. Sadly, I lost one of my very special clients this past week. Yeah. Linda. So this is the human, not the pet. So just a shout out to Linda's family because it was kind of a surprise.
It's funny.
Surprise loss. And
you know, you're a vet, but the family, the human component is so real.
I know. It really is. Because I have actually adopted animals from deceased clients. But this was kind of, nothing that we were prepared for. And she was in my office right before she passed. So it was pretty tragic. Yeah,
that's,
I know. So just a shout out to Linda's family. I'm thinking about them.
Dr. Chris Dallas joins us. Let's go to the phones. 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. We'll begin in Liverpool. Brenda, you're on.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
It was suggested that I call you. I mean, my dog, he's a 5-year-old boxer mix that we rescued. Very active. About 3 weeks ago, noticed that she had a limp and really didn't think much of it. Thought maybe she just pulled something running through the snow in the backyard and whatnot. But as time went on, didn't see it getting any better, so took her to the vet. And blood work didn't show anything. He gave me, put her on prednisone. And, of course, everything that comes with the, being on prednisone. But she has started to lose weight. So flash forward to last week, we took her back in on Wednesday to our vet, who sent us to a neurologist. Mm-hmm. And we're, the neurologist did a MRI of her spine and brain and didn't see anything. And we're waiting for spinal tap results still for this week. But again, it was just suggested that maybe I could call in and see if, you know, you could think of anything else that might be the issue. Yeah. But she's not, her whole back end out of nowhere just gave out after this limp developed.
Mm-hmm.
And she won't do her business other than if she's laying down. Now, she has struggles to do that, too. She just falls to the floor and is doing her business in the house. Or even if we have her outside under a watchful eye, she'll lay herself down to do her business. So I don't, you know, we're just curious from another viewpoint, I guess.
That's a tough one because you did the MRI, which is kind of the gold standard to look at brain and spine.
Yeah.
Did they say anything about a stroke to her spinal cord? It's called an FCE, fibrocartilaginous embolism.
No.
No, no one mentioned that.
He initially, he initially thought just watching her strut, because that's changed too, immediately thought neurological. And then, but the spine, the MRI showed nothing.
Huh. Well, that's when I pull out my acupuncture needles.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
If you have an acupuncturist near you, and there's more and more of us now in the veterinary world doing acupuncture, you will not interfere with any further diagnostics that might need to be done. But I would just go ahead and start getting aggressive with acupuncture. This is a perfect indication for it. And one thing to check with your veterinarian on is just to make sure that your dog is urinating on her own and that she's not just her, some dogs, when they have spinal issues, their bladder cannot empty. And we see urine because it gets to an overflow point, but we want to make sure that that's like she can urinate, like squat, or at least even if she's lying down, it's fine, but that she can choose to urinate and carry it out, carry it through, because otherwise that bladder will get huge and lose its ability eventually to contract and empty on its own. So do check with your vet on that piece. But I would say, I mean, you're already doing the prednisone, and that's the Western approach, and I would add in the acupuncture at this point if you've got somebody.
There's got to be. I mean, you're 45. In the Syracuse area, right, Brenda?
There's got to be somebody out there.
Oh, yeah.
I would start now.
She's
but also on an
antibiotic.
Yeah, good, good. That's an unusual case. I hope you get to the bottom of that one or that she turns around.
Thank you.
Brenda,
yeah,
thanks so much.
I know we're trying everything we can for her.
Clearly you are.
Thank you.
So good on you. Absolutely.
Appreciate the call. 800-348-2551 is the number. Dr. Chris Dallas is with us on this edition of Pets and Vets. We'll grab one more call before we hit the break, and then we'll check the email bag, et cetera, et cetera. Cheryl's in Glens Falls. Cheryl, you're on.
Hi, I have a cat that's about 11 years old. We have noticed for some time that he's got really big canines that actually stick out of his mouth, even when his mouth is closed, which, you know, okay, looks like a saber-toothed tiger. he has, and he's very friendly. He has started in the last 6 months. We've noticed he started losing some weight. both of them, I have two cats, and both of them were throwing up, so we've been trying to find good food, and I finally took him to the vet, had blood work done. There was nothing definitive in the blood work indicating like liver or kidney failure.
Mm-hmm.
He is drastically losing weight though. Mm-hmm. And at this point we're giving him small amounts of food,
mm-hmm.
and he can keep it down. It's not at all like, you know, we're giving him anything he wants to eat. So mm-hmm. sometimes we give him a little bit of chopped chicken. Sometimes mm-hmm. we give him those treats that are good for the teeth. I mean, he'll eat those. It's just so random.
Right.
And I guess my question is, you know, I know the inevitable is, you know, cats don't live forever, but the next step, I don't know what to do mm-hmm. other than just, you know, the vet gave us some veterinary food that was for like upset stomach or kind mm-hmm. of thing.
Yeah. Did you,
when he gets sick, mm-hmm. he's been getting really sick, like, mm-hmm. like the term blow chow is exactly describing.
Well, thanks
it.
For that.
It goes everywhere.
I appreciate it.
Does he, did they rule out hyperthyroidism? Do you know if they checked his thyroid?
The blood work that the vet did indicated nothing out of the ordinary. He
okay.
said that my next step would be to go
ultrasound,
like an MRI or something. I'm not sure. It's
probably
an
ultrasound.
To go to
yeah.
Niskayuna or somewhere downstate to get some more stuff done.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And
I mean, that would be the next step. Probably is just at least an ultrasound, which is, you know, not overly stressful.
That was it.
Yeah,
that was
it's not overly stressful. It can tell us a lot about what's going on in there. They can look at the thickness of his intestines, if it's an intestinal problem, or if there's something farther up in his stomach. You know, they can see like cross sections of organs and what have you. So, because there's only a few things that can really go wrong and not show up in the blood work, and one of them would be, you know, somewhere in the GI, in the gastrointestinal system. So I think that is your next step. I would do
okay.
an ultrasound. And I'll be surprised if you don't find something there.
All right, Cheryl, that's
yeah.
great. We got to take a break, yep. and thank you for the call. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number. 800-348-2551. Dr. Chris Dallas joins us. We'll be back. Kind of an under-the-radar selection there. That's Robert Gomez, I-20 Blues here on Vox Pop. 800-348-2551 is our number. It's Dr. Chris Dallas today. And, of course, your calls and your emails, voxpop@wamc.org. This email from Mary Beth. When I'm outside walking my 8-pound Yorkie, she barks and lunges at dogs that are bigger than her, which are most dogs. How can I stop this bad behavior? That's from Mary Beth.
Oh, that's a tough one. Oh,
it's the little dogs
that are the
really obstreperous ones,
they
you know?
They always start it
yeah.
every single time. We have like acronyms for these situations. I would actually work with a trainer and tell them you have a reactive dog. We don't call it aggression, but it's reaction.
Oh,
being reactive. It's nice when they're 8 pounds because you can pick them up and walk away. I had a pit bull who was incredibly reactive and took me down several times.
That's
she,
bad.
Yeah, oh, it was, yeah,
yeah.
It was. I couldn't take her out if there was any sort of slippery.
Do you have blow darts for those situations?
Yeah, right. That would have been super helpful.
Yeah.
I used to pelt her. My trainer taught me to pelt her with treats to get her out of the zone, kind of to get her, you know, back in her body because
yeah.
she would just lose it. I wouldn't pelt a Yorkie. Is it a Yorkie or Maltese?
Yeah, it was
yeah,
a Yorkie.
Yorkie.
Yeah.
I probably wouldn't pelt a Yorkie with treats though. So I would work with a trainer. It is a tough one. What I would do is as soon as we would see a dog, and her threshold was about 2 city blocks. So I was constantly looking for dogs around. As soon as we saw a dog, I would walk in the other direction, and if she was able to hold it together, I would give her treats. So I would make it a positive experience when she handled it properly, which was not very often, because she was usually could see. She was always on high alert. But I think these are things that we work with trainers on, because it's a lot of repetition, a lot of consistency, and a lot of timing things properly. So otherwise, you can reinforce the behavior.
Is this a breeding thing?
No, I don't. I mean, I think some dogs are prone to it. Like, but I
remember
do think
Schnauzer
that,
had it in.
Oh yeah,
big
that's
time.
True. Like yeah, some of like and the Scotties can be really you know. After going after other dogs, it's the way we raise them.
Yeah,
you know, we take them away from their litter at the young age, and they're not growing up around other dogs. And
right,
they just you know, and some naturally are more accommodating when they see other dogs, and some are just yeah.
Okay,
it is somewhat genetic.
This one's from Caitlin. Lipomas. My 6-year-old Doberman has a growing collection of fatty lipomas. I've read that there are some injections that can be done to shrink them. Is that true? Is it something a vet might do in office? I'm aware that the default advice is to just leave them alone unless they grow too large. Mm. And that's from Caitlin.
I have not heard of anything that you can inject, but that doesn't mean it's not out there if I haven't heard of it. It's very possible, but I also look at diet, try to minimize processed food, and sometimes that can stabilize them.
Mm, okay.
But yeah, they're also genetic.
Yeah. Number to call here is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. It's Dr. Chris Dallas today on this edition of Pets and Vets. And let's see. John is in Lexington. John, go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I have a large hound. She's about 85 pounds. She's Basset and Coonhound, and she's allergic to stuff, you know, almost everything. And where the allergy shows up is in her ears, which are always infected and itchy, and, you know, and she shakes her head, and on her skin. And so, you know, I've gotten these injections from the vet, but, you know, they're expensive and there's a lot. And I'm thinking, is there a diet or other ways that I could address all this?
If where in her body is she itching? Like where you said her skin, what part of her body?
Oh, her sometimes her belly, and then she's got this infected spot on her back.
Mm. Well,
and under her arms.
Yeah. Okay, good. So armpits, groin, bottom of the body. And ears is that can often it usually is a food reaction. So that's good news because you can play around with diet a little bit more. Seasonal allergies or environmental allergies are a little bit harder and do require at least medication or immunotherapy or something. But with what you're describing, I think there's a good chance that could be mostly food. So I would recommend trying to get her off processed food just to test it out. There are a lot of, you know, dog foods out there that are basically like home-cooked foods. so if you can stop getting those cytopoint injections, I assume it's a cytopoint injection.
So
you can put that money into better food and then you don't have to visit, you know, the vet office all the time. But I would play around with that and consider a good fish oil. There's only a couple of good brands out there, but a fish oil and a fresh diet, and you might be able to get a handle on that.
What will the fish oil do?
It just helps with inflammation in the skin and elsewhere, too. I just like fish oils in general because our meats tend to have a lot of omega-6s in this country, and so the way we feed our livestock.
So omega-3s.
So omega-3s balance that out. Okay. Yeah, exactly.
John, you want to follow up?
Or so would that be...
Go ahead.
Those omega-3s, would they be drops or, you know, how would do I get food with that?
Yeah, you could just find a supplement, maybe buy a human one because I think some of the veterinary supplements are, I don't trust their authenticity.
Interesting.
And actually that's true on the human side as well. There's the supplement world is, that's a whole other conversation. But, I use a liquid. With my patients, but you could also, if she doesn't like the taste of it, you could go with a capsule. But find a human one and then go like half a dose and start low, though. Start small doses first so she doesn't get GI upset.
John, thanks for the call. You know, food allergies, and we've talked about them many times on Pets and Vets, it takes a long time to isolate them.
It does. And that's what I ultimately do is I have people feed all the proteins. So we kind of like, if there's one or two that they're really allergic to, it kind of gets watered down by let's say, 6 other proteins that are affordable. And so I think by rotating like weekly,
one kind per week.
Yeah. So kind of like, or with each defrost, like I feed frozen food that I have to defrost. And so like each defrost will be a different protein. And that way, if there is one or two that's an allergen, it's not going in them every day.
Are you on board with this new trend? And I see the commercials, oh gosh, oh, 28 times a day. These new
farmers. Like
yeah,
the
I don't know the brands, but there's more than one.
Yes,
but they just have, is that good stuff?
They're pretty good, yeah. I mean, definitely, I think, better than kibble overall. You know, they definitely have a higher price point. And sometimes I'll have people add extra protein to those just because I notice some of them, I've opened the package up. I'm like, wow, there's a lot of potatoes in here.
Wow.
I don't see where the meat is.
Oh,
so,
boy.
It depends. It depends on which brand and what formula. But
and dogs are omnivores?
Yes.
Cats are basically carnivores?
Correct.
Interesting.
Yes.
So how does a cat then get all the nutrients it needs by just eating meat, theoretically?
Theoretically. Well, they don't. They would never just eat the muscle meat, though, right? They would eat the contents of the intestines and stomach, which has fiber. They would eat organ meats, which have lots of nutrients. And they would, if it's a small animal, they would eat the bones, too.
Sure.
You know, they're not really.
Believe me, I've seen that, and it's disgusting.
Yeah, it's like right down the hatch, everything goes. So that's how they get all the micronutrients.
I always find it hilarious when a cat will chow a chipmunk completely, nose to tail, and then will not eat the dry food that you have because it's too crunchy or something.
Know.
You just ate some bones. What's going on?
And they're right, like, it's a species-appropriate diet, though.
Yeah, you're right. Let's go to Susan in Valencia. Susan, you're on with Dr. Chris Dallas.
Hi. We just adopted a rescue who's 10 months old. She's tiny. She weighs 19 pounds, a mixed breed. We know there's probably some dachshund in there because her body's kind of long, but that's about as much as we know about her. And she is having terrible reaction to my husband. He's a tall guy. Mm-hmm. We've tried him sitting down, being on the ground, not being towering over her. He gives her treats for things just, you know, we wanted her to be like Santa Claus, so we became a positive avenue for her. Mm-hmm. When I'm not home, she is fine with him.
Oh.
She'll play with him, sit with him. So I think she's guarding me when we get in, and she'll charge at him and be really yappy at him.
Wow.
So I'm kind of lost. Can you think of anything else we could try?
Divorce, obviously, would be one option.
Take a long vacation and let him bond.
I thought about that seriously. I just said that to him this morning. What if I'm gone for a couple of days for 24 hours?
Yeah.
And then you guys have to bond.
Yes. I think you should go have a weekend at the spa and let them bond.
Perfect.
No, I think one thing you could try is... I'm a big fan of using a leash in the house for training purposes.
Okay.
So I would have him handle a leash, have her follow him around, assuming this is safe and that she's not going to, like, you know, sink her teeth into his calves or whatever. But is she a small dog? She's a low rider kind of?
She's small, yeah. Okay. She's 19 pounds. She's
okay.
Tiny.
But she, you know, if he has like a little pouch with treats, and just throughout the day when she's, you know, being quiet, maybe she's just laying near him and she's bored, he could just have like treats kind of fall from the sky. You know, he doesn't even have to acknowledge her. Just so she knows that when she's quiet and she's next to him, good things happen. And the other thing he could try hand feeding her. So when mealtime.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah, when mealtime happens, we do that when dogs are guarding their food, if they're resource guarding.
Yep.
We have people just hand feed them. So do make sure that there's not food around all the time. She needs to have a good appetite and be hungry and looking forward to her meals. And then just have him, you know, hand feed her and see. And he should be the one walking her as well. So, you know, if that means you've got to put the leash on or the harness on or whatever, that's fine. But then out the door, he should go with her.
Uh-huh.
We've done that. Actually,
okay, good.
The last few days. So.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
If it escalates, though, do reach out to a trainer so they can come and troubleshoot, because that's just me giving general recommendations.
Yeah, that was kind of our next step.
Okay, good.
So.
Yeah, good. Because, you know, without meeting
you
and
so
seeing the situation, yeah.
Susan, thanks for the call. It's Dr. Chris Dallas today. 800-348-2551 is the number. And the email address is voxpop@wamc.org to Amsterdam. And Mary. Mary, you're on.
Oh, hi. Thanks for taking my call. And thank you, doctor, for all you do for our pets.
My pleasure.
And my problem is my cat. She didn't always have this behavior, but now she's jumping on everything. Any piece of furniture, on the counters, on the table. I don't know what to do. I admonish her, and it does no good.
How old is the cat?
So,
how old is she?
Well, she was adopted, I would say 7 or 8.
And you've had her for 7 or 8 years, or and this is new now?
No, they say, I think I got her when she was 2.
Oh, okay.
But I've had her since 2020.
Okay.
You know, I've had her a while.
Yeah, you've had her for a while.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not sure I'm the person to help you with that because my cats are all over my house, including the counters and the dinner table. They eat dinner.
Are they? Well, I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, for me, that's like kind of why I like living with cats because they're sort of up in our space. And I think they would tell you to take some of her favorite places and cover them with aluminum foil.
Somebody said that.
Yeah, they really don't like that. So if there's a, like, maybe pick one or two places that you absolutely do not want her to be, maybe the kitchen counters. And then apparently you line, I think Dr.
Cover
Cicula,
the counter with foil. Yep. Good luck, Mary, when the neighbors come over and say, you've lost it, Mary. Yeah, good for you.
I know. It's a tough one. I think Dr. Cicula would have had a more clever answer for that. But
you know, our cat does this too. Mary, our cat does this too. Mitchell does this. And Mitchell's no spring chicken and will still go up on the counter when Mitchell is hungry. Mm. And all of a sudden I hear a thump and Mitchell is on the counter in the kitchen.
Mm.
And you're in a tough situation because you're giving the cat attention. Mm-hmm. That's what the cat wants.
Yeah, that's right.
And then, so what do you do? I have to just take the cat down and talk sternly.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work.
Yeah, it doesn't. No. And spraying them with water doesn't work either because then they just do it when you're not around.
Oh, it doesn't work. That's what somebody said. But,
not really.
And now she wants to eat every 2 hours. This is another one of her new tricks. So, I'll try the foil.
Maybe try one little space at a time and see if that'll be. Yeah, that's a lot.
That cat is training you, Mary, and I think there's no way out of this. I think you're stuck.
Oh, my. Yeah. Oh, my.
But also, just keep in mind, we all have cats who do that. So.
Yep, it's true. Well, thanks for the call. 800-348-2551. That's the number. Dr. Chris Dallas is our guest. Let's go out to Vernon, Connecticut. Debbie, you're on.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm calling about a 16-year-old cat. And she, the first part of the story is last summer we had noticed her when she was in the litter box and she was having a bowel movement and she would run from the box as though she was in pain. She wouldn't always actually have poop land in the box. It would end up scattered across the floor. Fast forward many months. The vet back then had said that it was perhaps senility. They didn't see any issues. They took blood work. And so they just chalked it up to senility. We bought Catatract, a couple of different litter boxes. It has worked sometimes, but not always. A couple of months ago, I saw the same thing happen where she went in the box and literally ran from the box. We brought her to the vet. We discussed expressing anal glands. They did express her anal glands without any medication, just took her in the back, did it. It seemed okay, but they said the material that's in those little glands is supposed to be watery and will come out, you know, very gradually, very minor amounts when animal defecates. However, they said when they expressed them, the material was like toothpaste. They did say that this could become chronic, but she's an elder cat. Hopefully this is a one-and-done incident or issue, but didn't give any advice about how to help her avoid that, if it's dietary or what could be the root cause of that. The actual reason for my call today is part and parcel to that. So when we went in and had those glands checked and expressed, then they also did blood work. They said that last year she was fine, but now her blood level shows that she's hyperthyroid. So they had just had us get prescribed food for the anal glands, which they said may help to give her something with high digestibility. So it was like a Hill gastrointestinal stress biome dry food and told her to still continue to feed the Fancy Feast canned food, little cans. Well, now with the hyperthyroid, they suggested a transdermal cream because we can't handle her enough to get pills in her. So a transdermal cream is fine, but and that's a daily thing. It is expensive, but I looked up food and learned that hyperthyroidism has a lot to do with high iodine in food.
Yep.
A lot of canned food that has fish flavors are loaded with iodine. So I called up the vet to ask about the food portion, which they hadn't acknowledged, and wondering if we should switch to the prescription food. And the answer back was, well, if we put her on the special prescription food, she won't need the medicine. So that really kind of confused me as to why they would want the cream instead of the food option.
Yeah.
So can you give me a little insight about hyperthyroidism and also about the anal gland, especially with an ELSA fat?
Yeah.
If anything you could advise me, I'd appreciate. Thank
you. Yeah, I mean, everything you said was correct. So you're absolutely thinking about all of this correctly. And the prescription diet that is for hyperthyroidism can control hyperthyroidism completely. You would just have to keep track of, you know, her levels so that you could wean her off the meds while the food kind of takes effect. And it may or may not work 100%, so you'll just have to see how she's doing. But what you could do to address the anal gland issue is you could just start adding some fiber to her food. You know, there's psyllium husks and things like that to kind of keep her stool nice and bulked up so that when she defecates, that expresses the glands. So, so it would mean sorry. Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No. Go ahead.
I said we did try the psyllium husk. We tried anything with it in it.
Okay.
And completely avoided. Can't get it in her.
Okay. Well, then you might. This might be your best bet because if this food that she's on, that's not the hyperthyroid one, but the GI one, if that's helping with the anal glands, then you may be kind of caught between a rock and a hard place, which is where we often end up with senior cats.
All right. Debbie, we are overdue here. Thanks for the call. 800-348-2551 is the number. 1-800-348-2551. We're joined by Dr. Chris Dallas today, and we'll be back in a moment. McCoy Tyner on Vox Pop, 800-348-2551. It's Dr. Chris Dallas here today to answer your pet questions. So far, so good.
Yeah.
It's been fairly smooth.
Yeah, yeah, it has.
Cheryl writes, one of your callers mentioned a dog with allergies. We went through the same thing. Turned out to be a soy allergy. Mm. Her skin cleared up beautifully after eliminating all soy. It is in so many pet foods. That said, I have an 11-year-old male cat. I'm noticing he, too, seems to have issues whenever he's fed foods made with chicken. Our vet mentioned she is seeing more pets having issues with chicken. It is in so many foods. Just wondered what your thoughts are. It's so true.
Mm-hmm.
Almost every cat food, whether you get tuna, whitefish, whatever,
it's all chicken.
It's chicken.
Yeah, I know, because it's cheap.
Yep.
And now it's going to be probably even cheaper with us culling all the egg layers. But, chicken... I do see that as well. I mean, I go right to my Chinese medicine on that because chicken is a very hot protein. So,
what do you mean hot?
Hot, like when you eat it, your body warms up.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it quantifiable, or is this just an Eastern thing?
I'd say
thing?
It's more of a subjective observation over millennia.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because the Chinese, that's what they did. They observed everything, and they kind of nailed it. I feel like their theories are pretty spot on.
Well, they seem to have good results, and you seem to get good results.
I really like Chinese medicine. So, yes, so Chinese, so chicken is hot, which can look like itchiness or inflammation. I usually tell people with, like, retrieving breeds, they're already so hot, maybe stay away from the chicken. Cats less so, but maybe her cat is heating up. Maybe we're heading into hyperthyroidism, which makes them warm.
Okay.
So now the chicken maybe is. But that's interesting about the soy.
Yeah.
I've never had anybody actually eliminate it down to soy.
All right. This email from Thomas. Last week, I had to put my 19-year-old ragamuffin cat down. Oh. She had hyperthyroidism, high blood pressure, lost her eyesight about a year ago. She used to be an outdoor-loving, wandering cat. But since she lost her eyesight, has seemed like she lost her love of life. About 3 weeks ago, she started passing blood clots in her urine, would stop eating and drinking, and wouldn't use her litter box anymore. After a trip to the emergency vet, I was told her kidneys were starting to fail. When the medicine did not seem to make anything better, and all she would do is cry and sleep, I made the tough choice to put her down. Mm. Ever since, I've been questioning myself about whether I made the right choice or if there was more I could have done to keep her around for a little while longer. Tell me I made the right choice. Mm. And that's from Thomas.
I would definitely say most people have those doubts, no matter what the circumstances
are.
Everyone goes, what have I done? Or, you know, because it is such a big decision. So, I mean, I will say we can always do more things and we can medicate and cut and irradiate our pets to the brink, you know, and at some point we have to say to ourselves, are we prolonging death or are we prolonging life? And that's a really tough call. It's a very subjective call. But I will say to Thomas that it is a very normal reaction to have those doubts.
19 is a great run,
yes,
too.
And there are pet loss support groups to talk about them, some of this stuff, too. So,
how do you deal with it as a doc?
There is a bit of desensitization.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to say, but I mean, I've worked in this field for 32 years, so it's just once you see enough situations, it's, yeah, you do kind of, it's not that you don't feel it, but you just can handle it better.
You have to.
You don't get overwhelmed by it.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Number here is 800-348-2551. Dr. Chris Dallas joins us on this edition of Pets and Vets. Let's go to Millbrook and Lorraine. Hello, Lorraine. You're on.
Hi. Thank you for getting to me.
Oh, you got it.
I think the theme today is turning into hyperthyroidism.
It is.
I'm calling about that.
Yes. That's a password,
so,
yeah.
Our first Russian Blue died of it, but at the age of nearly 18. Mm. And he was on medicine his whole, well, much of his life. Our Russian Blue now, and not entirely, all of our cats have been adopted from shelters, is 15, just turned 15. He's had hyperthyroidism for a number of years. He's been on the medication. I think there's really only one. And we switched from the pill to the cream, the transdermal cream that was mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. Give him a cream also on the ear flap for appetite enhancement. Changed his litter and his litter box. He's now thrilled about that. He has his own bathroom, high sides, plenty of privacy, probiotic litter, grain-free food for a number of years, and now HA, the hypoallergenic food. And I got the Hill's dry food for thyroid care.
Uh-huh.
Really, we've done a lot, and he takes the NutriCal gel that I mix into his food at times. Very picky eater. He's so thin, you can count his vertebra.
Mm.
And he's cavernous on the sides. But his personality is unchanged. He's loving. He jumps all over the place. He's got tons of energy. He jumps from our couch to our bed. That's at least 8 feet. And he just does it like a champion.
Mm.
So he doesn't seem to be suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Is there something else that we can do?
Mm. To get the weight on him, you mean?
Yes, to slow it down, because when I look at him now, I'm just kind of counting the days in it.
Mm.
He doesn't act ill, but he's so light now.
Yeah.
The last time he went to the vet, he was about 5 pounds, and I think he's lost weight since.
Oh, wow. Okay. And are his kidneys okay, as far as you know, and the blood work?
Yes. Mm. The blood work, kidneys and liver are fine.
Yeah. When was the last time you checked his thyroid levels? Because that is a progressive condition. I wonder if it's just getting
well.
Away from
we do take him in fairly often. I think maybe it was 3 months ago.
Okay.
I can always take him in again. But
have you noticed the weight loss since that appointment, or was that already happening when you were there?
Oh, it was already happening.
Oh, it's
been happening for a long time.
Hmm. And is there any diarrhea at all? Like, is he passing normal
yes,
stool?
Yes, a bit of diarrhea.
I mean,
it's sometimes it's sort of formed, it's soft, and sometimes it's diarrhea.
Okay. I wonder if there's something else going on.
And he's urinating, he's drinking, you know, they love the hyperthyroidism.
Yeah.
Also, he's always hungry and he always wants to drink.
Mm-hmm. It may be worth getting an ultrasound.
Anything at any time of day.
Yeah. It may be worth getting an ultrasound of his belly to see what his intestines look like. I wonder if he's not absorbing his. So if his thyroid levels are normal and we're confident about that, I wonder if we.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yep.
Sorry, I misspoke. His thyroid levels are not normal. He's hyperthyroid.
With the medication that he's on?
Oh, God. Now, in that case,
His number.
I'm sure. I mean, because we've gone back and forth to the vet. And
that's okay.
She's just taking blood. I'm sure he's. Yeah,
I guess that's how I would think about it. So just double check on that thyroid, make sure it's in the normal range, and your vet can tell you that.
Okay.
And then if it isn't truly in the normal range, and they can check a thyroid, a TSH, which is the thyroid stimulating hormone, that can tell us a little bit more about how well we're controlling the hyperthyroidism. If that's all in optimal range, then I would recommend checking out an ultrasound of his belly just to see if something's going on with his intestines, because that won't show up on blood work.
Lorraine, thanks for the call. It's Pets and Vets today. Dr. Chris Dallas joins us. This email from Fran. You're right. The password is hyperthyroidism today.
Really?
Fran writes, can you tell cat owners that there's a chewable that can be given to cats for hyperthyroidism rather than the messy cream? It's not cheap, but it's easy, and the cats love it because it's made up in a flavor they love.
I wonder if that's from a compounding pharmacy. I don't know where to get that.
I don't know, but Fran does not appear to work for any of the major pharmaceutical companies. But you never know.
Yeah. No, chewable is great because most hyperthyroid cats will eat anything. So that sounds lovely.
Interesting.
Yeah. And they are not so keen on being given a pill.
All right. Number here. By the way, the topical cream, I think our last caller or maybe the caller before that said you put it on the ear flap.
Mm-hmm.
Why the ear flap?
Because there's no fur. On the inside. It's on the inside.
Oh.
You put on the inside of the ear, and it's the only spot that doesn't have fur.
Theoretically, if there was a bald spot, you could put it there.
Yes.
Okay. Yep. Let's go to John in New York. John, where are you in New York?
Ticonderoga.
All right, man, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, we have two brothers, three-year-old pit bulls from the litter. We had cats in the house before we got the dogs, and they've always been separated in the house.
Mm-hmm.
I was not really allowed to do much training with them when they were younger to try to introduce them. So the dogs always want to get the cats.
Mm.
And, of course, it can be tumultuous if the twain ever meet.
Yeah.
And the dogs are very fixated on going after the cat.
Oh, dear.
What kind of work can I do to get them together?
That's a hard one. I mean, that has to be under very controlled circumstances. One dog at a time, one cat at a time. Dog is restrained on a leash. Cat is being held, and it's a lot of... If they are already that motivated to go after the cats, that might be a really hard sell for the dogs. I don't know. Again, I've said this a couple times in the show, but I think I would talk to a trainer on this one because, you know, I'm not at your house seeing the dog's reaction and just how intense it is. But when I bring new dogs into my house and they want to chase the cats, I get right on it right away and I make sure they know this is family. So the cats are brought to the dog. And yes, it does. And there's a lot of treats. But these are just normal, like, I just want to chase after you because you're running away kind of reactions. It's not, I want to eat you.
Right.
That's a very different situation. And there are dogs who will kill cats. So it is dangerous. And you want to make sure someone's there to help you.
These are powerful dogs.
They sure are. Yes. And so, and I did, you know, I mentioned earlier my pit bull, and I had to introduce her to the cats, and it went fine. I mean, but I did it right when she moved in the house before it became like this thing that she now was fixated on.
Interesting. So, now, if they grow up together and they're both little at the same time, does that make it easier?
I do find that, like puppies raised around cats generally just see them as part of life.
Yeah.
And I've even raised like chickens in my house and my dog. I don't know, like when they're babies too, there's that piece of like dogs don't go after infants, it seems, as much.
Right.
I wouldn't say 100%. But in your situation, John, I don't know that I would work with somebody to see if they even think it's possible. Because I wouldn't want you to try that based on my advice and then not have it go well.
Oh, understood. It is very good advice. And we have a little bit of difficulty because the cats were rescues. So they're not really cuddling cats. You can't hold them.
Right.
They got their claws.
Mm-hmm.
And the one dog is definitely more fixated.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate to say he got out of the yard and killed one of the neighbor's chickens.
Ouch.
When he was just 6 months old.
Yep.
You know, he was little.
Yeah.
And he got one.
Oh, boy.
So he's very fixated on the cat.
Yeah, some dogs just have that.
Or like you say, we want to be very careful.
Yeah, big time.
I would work with somebody just to have them assess the situation and tell you if it's even in the realm of possibility.
All right, now feel away and
we
things like that won't work.
We may have a divided house forever.
Because they're separate breeds.
Species. So they make a version of that for dogs. Called, oh God, I can't remember, Adaptil. So that's more of like just a calm and anxious dog. I don't know if it would help with a dog who's like on high drive as much.
Okay.
But yeah, I definitely feel like a professional needs to take a look at the situation.
John, thanks for the call. By the way, Fran wrote back, I am not a vet, nor have I any financial link to the medication that is in Chewy. Fran, I know you've written the show before. We were only kidding around. Thank you for that. This email from Mary Lou. Oh, what a beautiful cat. Little Cricket is a rescue. Her tongue hangs out because she is missing teeth. Her new vet feels the tongue is not a problem. But is there anything I should look out for in the future? She is 100% healthy in other ways. Look at that beautiful cat. Oh, my gosh.
I love when the tongue sticks out. It's so cute. It looks like Stoopy Cat. No, I am not worried about that. I think that tongue looks nice and pink and healthy, and it might dry out a little bit. Do you see how old she is?
Yeah, I don't think you can read it.
Oh, yeah,
know.
It doesn't say.
No.
She's super cute, though. I like tuxedos.
Very, very much looking like Mitchell.
Oh, really? Mitchell's a tuxedo?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think I knew that.
Mitchell is a lot of trouble. But I don't know. You know, is tuxedo a breed or is it just a mixed breed?
No, it's just a color.
Yeah.
It's literally just black and white cats. But my heart cat was a tuxedo and had thumbs that were like
Had thumbs?
He did. He was polydactyl.
Opposable thumbs? Yeah. What did you have? Take out the trash and stuff?
Yeah, it was really cute.
Well, that's amazing.
Yeah, he could count higher than the other cats. And he had like a little, like it looked like an oven mitt, and it was perfectly, he was black right to the mitten, and then it was perfect white on both hands.
So explain the genetic mutation here.
It's called polydactyly, and it just, I mean, they can have seven toes, they can have six.
But it's not an actual thumb.
It's an actual thumb. He had three bones in there, just like those other fingers. Yeah.
Is that cat... Would that cat have been considered an evolutionary step forward?
I don't know. We'd have to talk about that. What
do
you think?
Well, I don't know. We got a minute. What do you think? You're the expert. 800-348-2551. Only about 2 minutes left if you want to jump in with Dr. Chris Dallas. I think that's fascinating.
I know. And sometimes they'll have two thumbs and a nail in between. So that's, well, I guess that's seven nails and six fingers, seven fingers. Yeah. I don't know if that would be an adaptation.
You're the Anne Boleyn of cats over there.
I know, I know. Because we always joke if the cats had opposable thumbs, we'd all be in trouble. But he was fine. And actually, he wasn't very bright. And his name was Doofy because he was not the smartest cat. But we used to joke that he could count higher than the others.
Now, I find this is a fascinating line of conversation. The cat didn't seem that smart.
No.
Some cats... Yeah, are we projecting our own thoughts and feelings? I mean, are cats all about the same ignorance level?
Well, I don't know, because I have had some cats who definitely have outsmarted me in the kitchen, especially where they know how to play the game and hide out until I turn my back, and then they steal food that I'm cooking.
Sure.
And like that's it. That requires intelligence. It requires planning. It requires being very cunning. And Doofy just did not have it. His eyes were a little crossed. He just didn't have the same acumen.
How many pets do you have now?
It's kept under control by my husband. So I have three cats, a dog, and we're down to three chickens.
I thought you said it was kept under control by your husband.
Well, we would have
a lot of animals.
Oh, we'd have a lot more if it were.
Really?
Most veterinarians have like three or four dogs, three or four cats. If they're in a farm, then forget it. They've got all the
Don't you get sick
animals.
Of them, though, once in a while? Okay, I've seen enough.
I'm very blessed to have. The biggest issue is travel when you have pets, and I'm blessed to have Melissa, my assistant and friend, who will stay at my house whenever I want. So.
Well,
I'm blessed on that regard.
Dr. Chris Dallas, fantastic. If people want to find you online or in person, how do they do that?
Yeah, it's ancientartsveterinary.com.
Okay. Are you taking new patients? Or
I am. I mean, there's a wait right now, but it's probably a couple months out. But I think most of us are at this point.
Well, thank you so much for being here. Support comes from Mass MoCA, presenting new exhibitions and live performances this winter and spring in North Adams, Mass. MassMoCA.org for information. At Vision XL Lake Katrine, continuing a commitment to patient care, working to provide optical products and techniques while adhering to safety protocols. Appointments at 845-336-6310. Thanks again to Dr. Chris Dallas for joining us today. There is a link to Ancient Arts right on the page for today's show. You can hear it again. I'll get it online in the next 15 minutes or so. Thanks to our engineer, Kaylin McPherson. Nice job, sir. And, Andrea Leon screened the calls. Thank you very much. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, it's real estate. We'll welcome back Renata Lewis and Alexander Monticello, and they'll help you out if you're buying or selling or renting. We'll see you at 2:00.